Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Alex Morgan. I'm taking the place of this morning's representative from the church board, and I'm a senior high school student. And if you'd all like to take a pen out, my name is misspelled in your order of service. Morgan is spelled with an A. We have a variety of announcements about church life and activities. Please read the announcements listed in your order of service. Be sure to take the OOS, that's how we abbreviate it, us cool people on the church board, home to read them. In addition, there are a few others. We have Eric Larson, who wanted to come up and speak.
Quick announcement, the children's choir is going to be performing one more time this year. So all children are invited to join us next week. We will rehearse for a few minutes after the service next week. And I will try to get an announcement out onto the listserv, and I'll keep you updated about when we're going to have our future rehearsals and when I'll have our performance. But plan for next week after the service for a rehearsal.
All right, and then we also have Terry Fritz, who had an announcement.
Hi, I just wanted to give a really brief update on stewardship. I've been able to catch up on some TED Talks and videos this week, and I watched a TED Talk on Can Money Buy Happiness? And indeed, actually, money can buy happiness, but the only measurable way globally is if, in fact, you give your money away. So I've just got to say we have to have some very, very happy people at this church, because while we don't have all of our stewardship results in, over 65% of you have increased your pledges from last year. So I think that is fantastic. It does look like, and already we are over what we were last year, which probably goes without saying. Although we may not make our budgeted amount, keep in mind there's three ways our church does get money. It is mostly through pledges, over 90%. Also through contributions, and also through fundraising. For those of you who don't have your pledges in yet, if you plan to pledge, please do so, because I know the board of directors is meeting very, very soon, as well as the finance committee, to help us do our budget. But again, congratulations on being up over last year. Thanks.
All right, and I invite you to greet those sitting around you. Visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There are a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interests you. This is an intergenerational service, so the children will not be going to their religious education classes today. They will stay in the service. There is a nursery just outside the doors to my right and across the entryway if there is any need for childcare during the service. We always enjoy getting to know our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you introduced them. If any guests have brought themselves today and feel comfortable introducing themselves, this would be a good time to do so. We would really enjoy meeting you.
This is my friend Lars Gingley, one of my oldest and dearest friends. He's visiting today. He lives in Illinois, but he was actually born in Wisconsin, so it's okay.
Welcome. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for conversation. Please put your cell phones on silent mode during the service. I hope you find this morning's service, pick one, inspiring, worthwhile, fulfilling.
stuck in this routine. I need to change my ways instead of always being weak. I don't wanna be afraid. I wanna wake up feeling beautiful today and know that I'm okay, 'cause everyone's perfect in unusual ways. You see, I just wanna believe in me. La 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 la. The miracle light show you what's inside, and it can tell you you're full of life. It's amazing what you can hide just by putting on a smile. I don't wanna be afraid. I wanna wake up feeling beautiful and know that I'm okay, 'cause everyone's perfect in unusual ways. You see, I just wanna believe in me. I'm quickly finding out I'm not about to break down. Not today. I guess I always knew that I had all the strength to make it through. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm gonna wake up feeling beautiful today and know that I'm okay, 'cause everyone's perfect in unusual ways. You see, now I believe in me. Now I believe in me.
Surprise-free world. Let me not live in a surprise-free world. Grant me childish glee as if I saw the world for the first time. Allow me the joy of seeing old things in new light. Be it the tree at my window, the every Monday task at hand, my companion for a generation. Fling off the blinders of habit that turn my gaze and limit my view, that restrict my world simply because I have seen it before. Help me shed the fetters of routine that threaten to make one day like another, that reduce all persons to the lowest common denominator, that measure time by the hands of a clock simply because I have been here before. Furnish me with new words to celebrate the fresh surprise of every day. Or if not, let me hear the old words with new ears. Let me sing the old songs as if for the first time. Strengthen me that I refuse to succumb to the lures of a flat universe that has no room for surprise. Our chalice lighting words today. We light this chalice as a beacon of hope for our future, for believing in ourselves and each other, that together we have the strength to make a world a difference in our world. Now, if you'd like to join in the chalice lighting response, printed in your order of service.
May light of reason guide our way. Pray duty, truth, and joy become a flame. morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Jessica and David, for the beautiful music. And Alex, you did a great job with those, the welcome and announcements. You got to watch out. I'm on the nominating committee. I could nominate you to the board very easily. So I thought about writing an introduction to the service today and about all the kids who are in the high school class here at church. Many adjectives came to mind. Musical, compassionate, artsy, energetic, chatty, insightful, exuberant, and fun. And when I thought about all the high school teachers and youth group leaders who worked with these kids this year, it's funny, those same adjectives came to my mind. No wonder we had such good attendance here in the high school class this year. And today we have the pleasure of hearing from our high schoolers what they did this year in their religious education class, as well as what they did in the high school youth group, which met regularly after the service. And we also have the pleasure of hearing from our three high school seniors that have opted to participate in our transition program, which is an independent year-long program here at church. They have begun their transition to life after high school, a time when life will offer them many challenges. New surroundings, new friends, more diversity, greater responsibility for time management, facing ethical and moral issues that they have never faced before, and they might actually be sharing a space with a stranger that might be smaller than some of their own bathrooms. And this transition, because it's filled with so many new challenges, is a time of great maturation and growth. We're excited for all of you. This group of seniors is somewhat unique in that they've already taken on challenges and expanded their horizons in big ways. Teresa has taken on leadership roles within DISC, which stands for the District Youth Steering Committee, and she's attended many youth cons. She helped co-chair the Green Fair that we had recently with her mentor, Barbara Howell, did a wonderful job. And she's been involved in countless ways here at church. And Caroline clearly has both sides of her brain engaged. She has that really creative side as well as a very analytic side. She's a very thoughtful young woman and has perhaps stretched her comfort zone by studying abroad in Japan this year. She was gone the first semester through early February, which is why you haven't seen her around church very much. She's brought many things, many items from her Japanese trip that are on the chancel table here today. And Alex, and I'm so sorry to really misspell your name in the order service. She's been in leadership, involved with leadership throughout her high school years. I know she worked countless hours on an election. She's been involved, and I think been president of the DISC group for the district. And she's lived with many foreign exchange students, most recently from France and Norway. She's over the years been a role model here in the religious education class. Whenever we go through a transition, it's important that we have a sense of who we are, what we believe, and how we fit into this world of ours. That's what this transition program here strives to accomplish. The seniors are encouraged to engage in a variety of activities to help them answer these questions, engage in spiritual practices, do social action, provide service to our church, meet with our minister, and to choose and meet with an adult member of our congregation as their mentor throughout the year. And of course, then there's the infamous faith statement that we've asked them to write. It's that one thing that kind of gnaws at them all year, that creates a little bit of anxiety that really makes them think. But it's one of those challenges that, when it's all said and done, makes them really feel good to have spent time thinking about it, to talk with their mentors and minister about it, to write it down and share it with us today. This is who I am now. This is what I believe now. Nothing is written in stone. As Unitarian Universalists, we all know that. But when you can articulate what you believe, it helps guide your way through transitions, help you find your corner of the sky. The lyrics of the song that William will sing for us a little later remind us of the important work this transition time involves. Here are some of the lyrics. Rivers belong where they can ramble. Eagles belong where they can fly. I've got to be where my spirit can run free. Got to find my corner of the sky. So I want to thank the seniors for sharing themselves with us today, as well as the high school class. Please join in singing hymn number 1053, How Could Anyone It's in the supplemental hymnal, teal color.
Children would like to come up for the story for all ages. If the high school class would please come up for the story for all ages. Reading Wabi Sabi by Mark Riefstein, art by Ed Young. Wabi Sabi was a cat who lived in Kyoto, Japan. One day, visitors from another country asked Wabi Sabi's master what her name meant. It had never occurred to her before that Wabi Sabi was anything more than her name. Wabi Sabi watched as her master drew breath through her teeth, shook her head, and said, "That's hard to explain." The cat's tail twitching, she watches her master still, waiting in silence. Curious now, Wabi Sabi wondered if her friend Snowball could explain the meaning of her name to her. Snowball, who had been napping, stretched, yawned, and sighed. "That's hard to explain," she blinked. "It's a kind of beauty," she added after a minute, her eyes closing again. As though dreaming, she went on. An old straw mat, rough, on cat's paws, pricks and tickles, hurts and feels good, too. Then Snowball went back to sleep. Wabi Sabi wasn't sure she understood, but she didn't want to bother Snowball anymore. So she asked Rascal, the dog, if he knew about Wabi Sabi. Rascal was smart, but kind of mean. "That's too hard to explain to someone like you," he snapped. Then almost to itself he said, "Poor Wabi Sabi, as simple as a brown leaf, so ordinary." "Now I'm even more confused," sighed Wabi Sabi. "Am I beautiful or ordinary? Can anyone explain Wabi Sabi to me?" she cried. A bird flying by thought the question was for her. "That's hard to explain," she said to Wabi Sabi. "But there is someone who can help you. His name is Kosho, and he lives on Mount Hiei, to the east. A wise old monkey living among the pine trees knows Wabi Sabi." "Thank you," said Wabi Sabi, and off she went to learn what her name meant. To go to the mount, she had to cross through the city, dazzled by big buildings, shiny glass, and sleek cars, awed by the busy, sharply dressed people. She wondered if these pretty things could be wabi-sabi. She decided that if her name was true to her, it must be softer, quieter, darker. Even in cities, before the shock of new light, the colors of dusk. A short time after wabi-sabi entered the woods, she arrived at the foot of Mount Hai. The woods were dark now, so, hoping to find Kosho in the morning, she curled up beneath an old pine tree and went to sleep. She woke to the sounds of a stick stirring and tapping. A bowl of warm tea, offered by a monkey, please, steam rising gently. Very glad to have the tea in company, she said, thank you, my name is wabi-sabi. That's wonderful, the monkey replied. Encouraged, she asked, do you know what that means? Well, that's, he began. I know it's hard to explain, she said, but he went on. The pale moon resting on foggy water. Hear that splash? Frogs jumped in. That's wabi-sabi? She asked. Is that all? I don't know if I can. It's more, said the monkey. Listen, watch, feel. He said no more, so she watched him make tea. He moved slowly but gracefully, as if he were dancing, and he handled the things as if they were gold, although they were wooden or clay. Wabi-sabi felt what was in her paws. A warm, heavy bowl, comfortable as an old friend, not fine, smooth china. She looked carefully at the woods surrounding them. There was so much life, as if in the city, but here things were not clean, neat, or sharp-edged. There was no straight lines, yet there were many designs, on trees, in clouds, and dirty ponds. She saw that everything was alive and dying, too, like the damp autumn leaves curled beneath her feet. Simple things are beautiful, she heard the monkey say as he poured some tea for her, looking down at the tea in her bowl. Seeing herself as plain and beautiful, she whispered, now I understand. After some time, wabi-sabi thanked her new friend and started back for home. Because she did not hurry, she found a place called Ginkayahu, the Silver Temple. There was nothing silver there, but she found the place to be very beautiful, in a wabi-sabi kind of way. Although the buildings and gardens were shaped by humans, they were neither fancy nor grand. Moved by the natural simplicity of the place, wabi-sabi composed three short poems about what she saw. Yellow bamboo stalks, bowed by tea house doors so low, emperors must kneel. Dark buildings floating, sitting on white sand seas, a stream, sweeps small stones, chanting. The monkey returns leaves to just rake sand, this humble cat might understand. Tired but glad, wabi-sabi returned at last to her house. She curled up on the straw mat in the kitchen, enjoying the warmth there. She could smell the wind in her fur and feel her long journey steps deep in her bones. The sun's last rays stretch, a silver brush stroke shivers on warm, clotted glass. Now I think I know what to call this feeling, she said to herself. It's... Wabi-sabi, cried her master, seeing her. Where have you been? That's hard to explain, she purred, feeling simply and beautifully at home. The end.
This is the time in our service where we are invited to share our joys and concerns. Please raise your hand and an usher will hand you the mic. I'll light the big candle in hopes of finding solutions to the conflicts in our world.
Hi, my name is Beth. I have a joy to share. Last Sunday was Maya's 14th birthday, so Earth Day was her birthday, and we're celebrating with her.
Hi, this is Janica. Light a candle of joy for
joy itself for the ability to travel and learn about new things, new places, and get out of yourself.
Hi, my name is Terry, and I want to light a candle of joy and concern. The woman that we are sponsoring for through Safe Passage in Guatemala had her baby boy, Elias, on March 10th. However, he was born with a pretty severe defect. I don't think I can pronounce the word. It's when some of the brain tissue is coming through the skull. So he has had surgery. She has two other children. Word is she still hopes to go back to the literacy program. I think she needs our love, prayers, and support more than ever. So for baby Elias and Mother Vilma.
Hi, this is Tom. I'd like you to light a candle of joy because my son Mike and his fiancée Becky closed on a house on Friday and I helped him move in yesterday. So the joy is just that I was able to absorb a little bit of their excitement.
A candle of joy for our high school seniors as well as our high school kids. May they continue to light up our world.
Can you light a candle of joy for Lynn Smith, who's led this program for many, many years and you know, helps us to appreciate you wonderful children.
Gets bigger and bigger, doesn't it? Hello, I'm Dave Cicero, and there are four high school RE teachers this year, Joanne Nelson, Greg Valdi, Phil Smith, and myself, and I think I could speak for all of them when I could say we really were privileged to work with this great group of young people, learning and growing spiritually with them throughout the year. The high school RE group typically, at least the last couple years, starts out the church year with an overnight camping and canoeing trip to help the students and teachers get to know each other a little bit better before embarking on this educational and spiritual journey we undertake in the coming year. We did that this past fall over at the Gorrell's house and farm, the river that kind of goes through the property, and it was a great time. In the fall, during our eight classes here at church, we used the UUA's online tapestry and faith curriculum called Spirit in Practice, as well as human resources we called from the congregation here to explore spiritual practices we can all use in our daily lives. Here are some examples of a few of them.
We did walking meditation where we learned to concentrate on ourselves.
We learned about prayer and the traditions of prayer and different ways to pray. And then we discussed the activities that we do that could be considered a prayer or sacred.
We did Tai Chi and through it learned ways to balance our mind and body.
We also did yoga, which helped us learn how to relax and keep our breathing under control.
We did Reiki and we were challenged by this practice that we do not fully understand.
We did meditation through mandala. A mandala is a circular design that represents the energy of the universe. Making one is supposed to connect you to that energy. We used sand painting to create our mandala. It was very calming to concentrate on.
In the spring, when we were kind of through with that curriculum, we explored topics that the students here identified, such as death and the afterlife, the nature of good and evil, the psychology and purpose of religion, the Bible, Islam, miracles, the concept of the soul, the teachings of Jesus, Buddhism, light topics like that. To give you an idea of what the discussions look and sound like in a typical classroom meeting, we put together this little video.
I have a joy that we can all be here together and share our, you know, sorrows and share our joys and really have a sort of a community where we can feel comfortable to do that. I think that's really awesome.
We're coming to another discussion, and like we did a couple of weeks ago, we basically went through our list of issues. Got everybody's approval that. Everybody gets one vote. And how many for Islam? How many for God? God, divine. The meaning of life. Okay, Unitarian Universalism. All right, think about your vote. It's either going to be God, God, or the meaning of life.
Well, you could argue that God is the meaning of life, and that we have both the same topics.
God. There's like a lot of definitions, but it's something people believe in.
I have to quote that the Elite Nation put on this by Elie Wiesel. He says God is God because he remembers. That's how I interpret that, is he sees everything and he remembers the bad things that happen so that they don't happen again.
Or God is paying attention. Yeah. Well, I've always defined God as something kind of like an all-seeing being, person, type of power that takes into account
things
that
come.
Some people think
or something. And there's that word he again. Okay. So there's a traditional Western definition of God. You guys all know what it is?
He.
Part of it is probably
the big white guy. I think that
is
loud.
He's bald.
Stereotype.
White robes. He's
stereotype. So I thought that was funny because when they say he, they refer to God. And so it's like, a lot of people kind of just assume God is male.
I think the reason that God is considered male is because we live in a male-dominated society, so we would assume that the all-powerful being would be male, because that's like, when God was created, that's who the all-powerful people were male.
I was going to say that I think God is more like an energy,
which is like a representation of all the things that we don't know and that we don't know.
Spirit or a soul that's in everything that kind of builds up one power in the universe.
I don't really know what I believe. Like, I'm really good at saying what I don't believe. Things we can't explain.
You know, the spirit that kind of unites us all.
We're just like connected to each other, and that's like the kind of like the divine power to all this, I guess. It's unconditional love.
I traveled to God.com.
God.com.
Yeah, my conclusion is very inconsistent. I am still personally confused on everyone else's definition of God. There are so many.
Everybody's definition of God is just describing the same thing in their own way.
I think the meaning of life is different to every person. Live your life to the fullest.
I believe that the meaning of life is just do things that make you happy.
Follow the path the world lays for you.
You just go along with the flow.
I think like the meaning of life is whatever brings you joy.
For me, the meaning of life is surrounding yourself with people you love and you would spend every day with them. The meaning of life is to find something that makes you truly happy.
You get kind of
deeply happy feeling, like you feel full, I guess.
There was this thing that said, the meaning of life is to give life a meaning.
Oh, yeah. Just to make you look sad.
So we also spent class time this year doing community service work, like fall yard work for some elderly folks that needed some help on Make a Difference Day back in November. And we'd also like to share with you what the youth group did after services from 11:15 to noon on Sundays and outside of Sundays as well.
This year the high schoolers started a new program. After our usual RE during church, the high schoolers regather to plan and discuss fundraisers and social action projects. We did things such as serve food at the Hope Center, rake lawns, and soon we'll be cleaning out part of the Ice Age Trail, and we'll also be doing a service project in New Orleans this summer. And as for the fundraisers for our service project, we organized and served Valentine's Day dinner. We made earrings from recycled materials at the Green Fair, and we're still selling those. And in July, we'll be selling lunch items at the Piggly Wiggly.
So we thank you for continuing to support the high schoolers in their educational, religious education program here.
Of the sky.
first. My senior year of high school started out halfway across the world. Living with a host family and attending school in Japan for a semester was a culturally eye-opening experience and has also given me a new perspective on life. Doing things like communicating in another language, fitting into a different culture, and making friends with new classmates has given me a lot of self-confidence. Appreciating this wonderful opportunity presented to me helped me change how I approach each day. I learned to live in the present and to value each new experience. One vivid example is when I sat at a conversation table with three native Japanese women and two Korean men. Though our only common language was Japanese, we had a wonderful discussion about our respective cultures. It was exhilarating to realize the wonders of language and communication and how we could reach each other with a common bridge from multiple backgrounds. To use all the resources available to me and be able to bridge such a large cultural gap was a huge challenge and a moving experience. I was forced to rely on my own resources to create my path each day. From situations like these, I learned that no one can make me happy but myself. This, in a way, is my faith. I don't necessarily believe in some all-powerful being to be there to support me. I have confidence in the power of people, with all our faults, to be the ones who make our own lives. Life is what you make of it. I can look upon an experience as not good or bad, just different. I can view an obstacle as a wall I can't pass, or as just that, an obstacle, one that is meant to be hurdled. My trip to Japan was delayed twice, once by a huge natural disaster the week before I left, and another 4 months later by an emergency appendectomy the day before my planned departure. I could have stopped at each of those obstacles, but I kept going and kept an open mind about the possibilities. What I really admire about Yuyuism is the encouragement to be open-minded. Yuyuism is not a set of beliefs, but a system encouraging one to find what ideals allow one personally to prosper, be inspired, and generally make the most of life. At LCUUC, I have very much enjoyed the intelligent, thought-provoking conversations with those here, especially with my peers in RE. We may talk about things of a delicate nature, but we are able to respect each other's differences. I appreciate the sense of community and trust that, though people sometimes may not share my view on something, they will listen to me with an open mind and respect that I have my own opinion. Here, I am not forced to believe something, which has made me feel uncomfortable in other situations, but encouraged to find my own way. I finally reached a decision about 2 days ago that I would attend RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, this fall. Why? I found out they had a UU club. Well, that's a small part of it. But it is also a very good engineering school in New York, and I believe that, though no path is the perfect one, it's quite well-rounded and can give me many opportunities I intend to take full advantage of. It is also coincidentally about 2 to 3 hours away from where my sister is. My experience in Japan has taught me to go out of my comfort zone, and I believe I am as ready as a high school senior can be for college. Wish me luck. I am very thankful to have this great community as a foundation to move forward in my life. And a special thanks to Greg Valdi, my mentor, for sticking with me at such a distance and the thought-provoking conversations about anything and everything that helped me sort my thoughts about this transition to college and beyond.
Hi. So I was sitting at my computer yesterday trying to figure out how to define my beliefs. Yeah, I did this yesterday, like every single other person, but so I was trying to figure out how to define my beliefs, which turned out to be pretty hard because I was also trying to figure out what are my beliefs. At one point in my life, I definitely would have been able to give you an answer, but I'm not quite sure anymore. So I was thinking what to say. Shouldn't this be easy? I mean, I've been given a lot of choices of things to believe in. Being a UU does that for you. In RE class, we've learned about different faiths, and I found things I identify with in all of them. But I don't identify myself with any religion entirely. For example, I've always been drawn towards Hinduism. Sanskrit has a flowing, mesmerizing beauty to it, and the fact that some of the chants have been around for thousands of years is a very powerful thought. Going to kirtan chanting has been one of the most spiritual practices I've had in my life. But even though I have drawn parts of my spirituality out of Hinduism, I'm not a Hindu because of that. What I have figured out is I really do identify myself as a UU, and I'm still in the process of my free and responsible search for truth and meaning in life. One of the things I really love about being a UU is that we try to be accepting of others' beliefs. Feeling accepted is a struggle sometimes in society. People can be quick to judge and resistant to new ideas and change. I found in my life that people like to label things. They like to be able to define what they see, and if you're different and they don't understand, they'll label you as different. But I don't like labels. I think it's really easy to judge people based on stereotypes, but once you really learn about religion, you can find common ground, and that's one of the great things about Unitarian Universalism. I think God is an especially hard word to work with because lots of people, especially UUs, define God differently. This is difficult because we're used to words having a set definition. How are we supposed to react to a word that doesn't mean anything in particular? It means something different to every single different person. I think that's one of the toughest things about religion and why a lot of religions have conflicts. So I prefer not to use the word God because I don't really know how to define it. I do know that I believe there is something bigger out there than us. I don't think human beings hold the highest level of consciousness. We're held down by our egos and our lives here on Earth, but I also don't think that's a bad thing. At this point in my life, I'm not trying to get rid of my ego or reach enlightenment. I am looking to live my life to the fullest, learn from everyone and everything. I think human connections are powerful. I believe love and happiness are powerful. There is so much beauty in this world, and I would like to experience it. There might be a time later in my life when I find more happiness from spiritual practices, and when that time comes, I'll have plenty of choices. While learning about different faiths, I've learned about many different forms of devotion, prayer, and meditation. I've never really been good at meditation. I guess it's just not really my thing. I've tried to quiet my mind and find inner peace, but never really found something profound or bigger while doing it. But I have found some profound experiences when I'm out in nature. When I'm out in the woods or sitting by a lake or stream, I find much more connected and calm feeling. Being out in nature is when I feel the most spiritual. I'm much more aware outside, the sounds of the water and the wind, the smells of the rain or a fall breeze, the sight of a beautiful sunset, or the sun slanting mysteriously through the trees in an old-growth forest. All my senses are engaged. It's a full-body experience, and I feel a deep connection to the earth. It is when I feel the most at peace, so I guess I'd say that's when I'm the most spiritual. I feel lucky to have found something that brings me happiness and peace that I can pursue as my life's work. I'm planning on attending Northland College to further my studies in environmental science, and even though I'm not exactly sure what exact branch I'll be studying, I know it'll be an amazing journey, and I'm ready to begin.
Sorry, I'm getting over a cold. Like most other well-prepared high school students who love a good bit of procrastination, I didn't start writing my transition speech until 11:45 a.m. yesterday morning. Well, that was the first time I sat down to type it up, but thoughts have been floating around my head all week, mostly during my 10-minute walk to and from school, in between my internal complaint monologue about how Merton doesn't have sidewalks. I spent a lot of time thinking about my 4 years at LCUUC and the things that I remember the most. Over the 4 years, the same words have been repeated over and over about the transitions program. This is your elevator speech. That's the thing that's made this so difficult for me to write. I keep picturing myself delivering this exact speech in an elevator to some poor guy who just wanted me to nod and say, "I'm fine, how are you?" Like most other well-adjusted high school students, I've spent a lot of time thinking about what I would say to strange men in elevators about my religion. The truth is,
I probably wouldn't say anything. I don't want to give a stranger in an elevator a dissertation on the foundation of Unitarian Universalism or what my philosophy is. I may want to talk about the weather, perhaps even ask the time, even make a comment about the name Otis on so many elevators. But I wouldn't tell them about my belief. I don't like the word belief. The word belief implies doubt. I believe something I don't know to be true, but that I want to be true. Belief systems are the product of a gap in scientific reasoning. Things that cannot be backed by evidence, for which we lack a method of determination, become beliefs. The problem is that a belief system requires no action. It's an idealization. I believe myself to be always somewhat better than I am. I believe that all humans have good intentions. This statement is not particularly useful. I don't know if all humans have good intentions. I haven't really made the claim that they do, but I want that to be true. That doesn't mean I'll do anything to test whether all humans have good intentions, or even myself have good intentions in most cases. Every time I say I want to be more ecologically friendly, but drive a car somewhere, I'm ignoring belief. Every time I talk about disliking child labor, but buy products made cheaply in China, I'm ignoring belief. Belief requires no action. I don't want to talk to someone in an elevator about their beliefs, because their actions are what are affecting the world, not the beliefs behind them. If someone believes in saving the environment, but has invested all of their money in oil drilling, there's an incongruence of belief. Intentions don't matter if actions don't mirror them. This isn't an elevator speech, because you all aren't strangers. I'm sure you'd love to talk about the weather, but what makes you all different, what makes this community different from being trapped in an elevator, is that I want to talk about my rationalization process, my intentions. My understanding of the world is completely grounded in humanity. There is no God. I don't like spirituality. I don't like inconcrete forms. I think there's enough intangible matter in the world. I'm 18, not a baby anymore by most of the world's standards, but it's taken me this long to realize that I cannot comprehend the way some people's minds work. In my naivete, I've always somehow imagined that everyone structures problems in the same way, attempts to be peaceable, has the same basic humanitarian intentions. It's astounding when I have a conversation with someone and realize they aren't using communication for the same purpose as me. It's astounding to realize that people who come to the same ends as me in terms of world construct and actions use a completely different internal rationalization. I don't want the ends to justify the means. I feel that leaves too much in the gray area between right and wrong. But in every situation where I've told a white lie to make someone feel better, or let my little cousin keep on believing in the tooth fairy, I'm compromising the means to make the ends nice. I'm starting to think that, at least on the small scale within human interaction, the end results are the only things that matter. I can worry about other people's intentions for hours, but no matter their reasoning, I'm going to stick by the people who stick by me. It's just a matter of efficiency. Right now, the core way in which I think about the world, with so many qualifications as to make it not very solid, is that, yeah, you know, Machiavelli and I have a lot in common. In a lot of cases, the ends do justify the means. Action matters. Belief does not. Hamlet would be a very short play if Hamlet did not spend so much time worrying about his beliefs and just took action. He didn't take action because he feared the results, but he still died anyhow. It's a little morbid, and it contains a lot more rhyming couplets than normal life, but we spend so much time analyzing Hamlet because Shakespeare has captured a problem that is central to so many people. And in the end, we all die anyhow. You probably shouldn't live every day like it's your last. You should spend less time philosophizing and more time doing things. Now, how does this speech fit in with everything I've said? Spend a decent amount of time philosophizing. I've tried to avoid using the word belief, but I'm still just talking about things I don't really know to be true. I've taken no action. Thank goodness for rationalization. I'm just going to file this one under community building, coming of age ceremony, call it an important action as a self-actualization within a community, enjoy some coffee after the service. Then, probably go home and study for my advanced placement tests, because as much as I strive to break out of institutionalized education and enjoy the acquisition of knowledge simply for itself, I found that no belief system is yet to offer me 30 credit hours of college work or any scholarship money. Man, I hope there's cake after the service.
chorale that was written. All the musicians that was written for our high school seniors about 4 years ago.
By whom?
Huh?
By whom?
Karen and I wrote the song when our children, two of our kids were graduating, so we knew we could share it. By request. How's your order of service setting? Have you guys been joining us?
You told me while you were there.
I don't even know this song.
It is?
Wait,
yes.
We're a different tune.
It says G. You changed the key too while you were there.
This is why.
I told you I should start.
You know, when I was in high school, I was competent too.
Thank you.
wipe my eyes after that one. Okay. I'd like to thank our high school teachers, Phil Smith, Greg Valdi, Dave Cicero, and Joanne Nelson, for teaching this year. I'd also like to thank the youth group leaders, Jim and Janice Tyler, Dave Cicero, and Kristen Sandin. We're going to more formally welcome them at our RE service, which will happen in a couple of weeks. And I'd like to now formally recognize our seniors and their mentors. So please come up when your name is called, and we'll save our applause till the end of this all. So Carolyn Sullivan and Greg Valdi. Teresa Kennedy and Barbara Howell. Alexandra Morgan with an A and Phil Smith. Thank you all for taking part in the transition program. I'm sure I speak for our mentors when I say that they have learned as much from you as you have learned from them. And thanks, mentors, for taking the time this year to make a difference in the lives of our seniors. And thanks to our seniors for being so courageous and sharing yourselves with us today. We really appreciate it. Your faith statements were awesome. Our congregation has a few gifts for you. We've got our... maybe Carrie will grab them. We've got the LCUC chalice with our emblem engraved on there, and please display it prominently in your dorm room. And in the bag, there's the book. It's called A Chosen Faith, which I recommend everyone reading. It's about Unitarian Universalism. So if you don't have homework some night, be sure to read it. I have a few words to share with you. They're written by W.S. Merwin. You are going for a time, and nobody knows what to expect. We are trying to learn not to accompany gifts with advice, or to suppose that we can protect you from being changed by something that we do not know. Even by the sea that we love with its breaking, and the dissolving days and the shadows on the wall, together we look at the young trees, we read the news, we smell the morning. We cannot tell you what to take with you in your light baggage. We hope you all find other UUs to hang out with wherever you live next year, and we look forward to your visits back to this, your home church. Congratulations. We will now have today's offertory. May your monetary gifts to our church be given in the spirit of our high school youth and the difference they have and will continue to make in this world.
Thank you. closing words are from Pablo Neruda's Book of Questions. ¿Por qué no enseñan a los helicópteros a sacar miel del cielo? Why don't they teach the helicopters to suck honey from the heavens?